Welcome back into the program. JJ Jackson here on today's show with Tom Peavy, Brooks Childress, Bill Bailey, all inside our studios here on South College Street. Hope you're doing well. If you missed any of today's show, make sure you go back and check out the Sports Call podcast that's brought to you by our friends over at Pepsi. If you want to hear something again or just listen to the show again, you can find it on demand wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Pepsi, that's what I like. As we now go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a longtime friend of the program, Jason Caldwell from Inside the Auburn Tigers joins us now on this Monday. Jason, we appreciate the time. How was your weekend?
It's good, guys. You'll have a little background noise, and we're out taking a walk, so you might have a little noise in the background, but that's okay. But no, good weekend. Got some sunshine out now, which is nice.
Absolutely, not a problem at all that there's the background noise there. Exercise is very important. We appreciate you taking the time to allow us to join you on that walk, Jason. But as you take a look at this past weekend, you got a chance to see Auburn baseball pick up their first three wins of the 2021 season. What stood out to you from the Plainsman Park?
Yeah, I think depth, probably. I think I figured out 14 different players got at least one at bat, and then 12 different pitchers pitched at least one inning. And so, I think that's the biggest thing is the depth they showed. And, so we'll see now is can they make adjustments now that, pitchers have seen them. Some of these young guys, figuring out, okay, it's different than seeing your teammates in practice, guys you're used to. You're going to have to adjust on the fly. And so I think they can adjust and do some of those things at the plate. Probably be, something to watch, even these midweek games. Alabama A&M sometimes is the toughest to adjust to is 78, 82, off speed, doing all those things. And so this will be a good little learning curve for them heading into a really big weekend when they play in Round Rock Tech.
If we forced you to pick one, Jason, what pitcher had the best weekend?
I said Richard Fitz in my thing today. I just gave up, solo home run is only hit he gave up in five innings. I struck out six, walked a couple, but, you give up one hit in five innings. That's pretty strong. So I would say Richard Fitz probably the guy that stood out the most to me.
Same question for position players, Jason. Who had the most impressive weekend to you?
Yeah, he batted 300, but Stephen Williams, the job he did catching two games, catching for the first time really since high school. He's had a couple of little instances here or there, but only been back there about 2 weeks. To me, the job he did defensively, had three walks in three games and then three hits. So, averaged being on base a couple times a game. That's pretty good. But his defense behind the plate was probably the thing that stood out to me.
How surprised are you that he's behind the plate, Jason? From what I recall, it kind of felt like Auburn was a little bit adamant that he would be an outfielder in the future and that sort of thing, and not throw him back behind the plate. But obviously, we see him there, and he looked great, as you said, behind the plate this past weekend. How surprised are you that they've made that move?
A little surprising, but I don't think it happens if it's not a COVID year. I think they were like, let's take a look at everybody we can, because it's kind of like quarterback. You can find a pitcher. You can find a bunch of pitchers. You can't. Only so many guys you can find that can strap on the gear and get behind the plate. He's one of the guys that had that in his background. So they're like, let's take a look at him. When they did, it's been kind of really, jumped forward a whole lot since then. He's done a good job of catching difficult guys to catch, and Cody Greenhill and Brooks Fuller. And so I think for the coaches, they're like, hey, let's work with that and maybe use him on some games. So I don't think there's going to be anybody that's going to catch 65 games like we've seen in the last couple of years. But I think they've got some guys now that can share the load there.
You look at this past weekend for Auburn baseball, Jason, five or six home runs for the Auburn Tigers, a much better pace than they were on in that shortened 2020 season. Is that a Presbyterian College factor? Is that the first weekend of the season? A combination of those things? Why did you think Auburn was able to hit so many home runs this past weekend?
Yeah, I think that thing's going to have more power for sure. You got older, more mature guys in the lineup. Guys like Rankin Rowley, Stephen Williams didn't have one. Ryan Bliss did. Their newcomer like Bryson Ware has some power. So this thing's going to have more power potential. I'm going to have one guy that hits 16 or 18, but they may have five guys that hit 10 or 12. So I think it's going to be kind of sharing the load a little bit. But they got power potential up and down the lineup. And you got a leadoff man in Judd Ward that could hit 10. So it's a little bit different type of lineup for sure.
Jason, I want to get your thoughts on you mentioned Richard Fitz was what you saw was the most impressive pitcher of the weekend. I want to get your thoughts on Cody Greenhill's first start with the Auburn Tigers.
I thought he did a good job. I think the thing for him and Fitz and over here, even for most of the guys is now going to be kind of stretching out a little bit more, as you know, as Butch Thompson said, can you stay on the rails and keep your velocity up some? You know, that's, Cody's never really had to do that before. Learn how to use those off-speed pitches and do those things. So they did a good job for the first time out, but I think for them it's going to be, okay, can you build on that? And it'll be a challenge with, you know, Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas A&M coming up this weekend. You ramp up and see where you're at if you're those guys, really this whole team, this coming up weekend in Texas.
And then, Jason, I want to get your thoughts on one of the new kids on the block. Josh Hall had an absolutely phenomenal week, and only three games, but he's already leading the team in batting average. What were your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Josh is a guy that really for much of his life has been almost the equivalent of a slap hitter in softball. That's kind of the way he's played the game in baseball. But, you know, he showed a little bit more pop. He's gotten more physical, I think. A red shirt year has helped that. I think you see him now, and you know, he had a triple his first time up. He's got the ability, he had a sack fly. He's done those things, and you know, he's gotten a little bit more, you know, bigger and more physical. Maybe he's not going to be the guy that steals 50 bases like, you know, people thought he would be, but he's still fast enough to go. But I think he's had a little bit more pop, you know, to play.
Jason, moving over to we've been talking positive with baseball, but now we need to go to a little bit of negative because this basketball team is just not getting it done right now. Big loss to LSU. What is the ail? What is the ailment of this team? Is it the youth? Is the team just kind of packed it in for this season? I mean, what are you seeing from this team that seems to be the biggest problem right now?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think the biggest thing is that it's tough when you get to this point in the year and everybody starts making bracket projections and those things and talking about tournaments and knowing that you're not going to be involved. That takes some motivation out for the season for sure. It amps up the motivation on the other side. And so I think you look, that's one of the things that stands out to me. I think the other thing is when you start thinking about, you know, a young team, how do they respond during the year and late in the year when they get used to seeing more of those more of those guys in a season, the grind of an SEC schedule, you throw the COVID aspect into it as well. It's made a great challenge. So I think it's a combination of several things in there in the mix that have really led to this. I would say that to me the biggest factor is you got teams on the other side that are playing for, you know, a spot in the NCAA tournament, and you know that your season is going to be over with in about, you know, a couple of weeks.
Right. Kind of sticking with basketball, I mean, obviously we know all of these guys are going to be coming back next year, but except for maybe one, and that's obviously Sharif Cooper. Everybody's asking about, if you had to make a prediction right now, does Sharif come back next year? Should he come back next year? Or do you think that his future is the NBA and he's a one and done and gone?
Personally, and I've never had to make this decision, if I was in his shoes, I might think differently.
Right.
Personally, I think he should probably come back. I think there's things that he needs to work on in his game. He's going to be a first round draft choice. I think he could be a top 10 draft choice with the ability to knock down the open shots and do some of those things from the perimeter that he's kind of missing right now. So that physicality, which would help on the defensive end, I think those are things that he can improve that would help him not only maybe a higher draft choice, but I think would help him make more of an early impact in the league, because right now I don't know that he's an early impact guy as good as he is, because in the NBA, it's tough if you're not knocking down shots from the perimeter. We've seen that even in SEC games in the last few weeks for him. If you can't drive the basket and get to the free throw line, his scoring is going way down. And so I think that's a factor for him. But, you know, if his goal is to get to the NBA, then obviously that's done. He's made that goal. But if your goal is to stay there and, heck, maybe your goal is to win a national championship. And if it is, then you come back and have one of the most talented teams in the country, you know, surrounding you next year.
Jason, we appreciate the time today. It's always a pleasure when you join our show, and we'll let you get back to the exercise, like get back to the family time with the little one there. But let us know what we can find at AUTigers.com this week.
Yeah, check us out. Like I said, AUTigers.com, Auburn.247, and also follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
We appreciate it, Jason. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.